Well, church, it's been a blessed time of worship thus far. Hopefully you've been able to sing along with some of the songs and pray along with some of the prayers. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, I encourage you to turn to Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're getting close to the end. We actually only have this Sunday and next Sunday, and we'll wrap up the book of Ephesians this morning. We're closing out the series on the armor of God. The last several weeks we've been looking at many pieces of the armor. Paul has told us to stand in the strength of the Lord, to stand in the strength of his might as we take on Satan in our spiritual battle. We said at the very beginning that for believers, Satan cannot possess us. We can never be demon possessed as believers, but he would love to wreck our souls. He would love to steal away our confidence, our assurance of who we are in Christ. And so Paul has told us to put on the full armor of God, to stand in the strength of the Lord. And we looked at all the aspects of that. Just a quick review. We looked at the belt of truth, how the importance of knowing the word of God that frees us up to do this battle, that makes us quick and nimble to be ready for the schemes of the evil one. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness to cover our heart, to cover our vitals, that we are covered in the righteousness of Christ always, and we stand in that as we pursue righteousness in our own lives. We'll always be protected by the righteousness of Christ. We talked about the importance for shoes, to be ready with the gospel of peace, that no matter wherever we go, that we should be ready to share this great story of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to rescue sinners, and to have that gospel ready on our feet. We talked about taking up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one, that God is our shield, that he is our refuge, and we desperately hold on and cling to him and his promises, no matter what Satan might throw our way. We talked about the helmet of salvation for the battle of our minds, that we put on the truths of God, that we can have peace through the truths of God, we can have purpose through the truths of God, and we can persevere through the truths of God. And then last week we looked at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our offensive weapon, that when Satan comes to distort, to contradict, to tempt us, we're ready. We're ready with the words of God, and that Satan would flee. Now that we're standing in the armor of Christ and his accomplishments and God's truth, the question is, how do we move forward? Where will we get power each day in this armor? Where will we get instruction for each day that we battle? And where can we find comfort after a long day of battle, of doubt, of questions and temptations? And Paul says, prayer. Prayer. As we think about prayer, we'll think about the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus is our true warrior. He's our true victor. He's our true champion. And as Jesus lived on earth, he depended on his Father always. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was a man of prayer. He would pray early in the morning. He would pray late at night. He would go by himself. He would, after a miracle crusade, go off and pray. He was always dependent on his heavenly Father. And if Jesus was a man of prayer, it would make sense that you and I desperately need to be people of prayer. As we begin to think about prayer this morning, we probably all agree that our prayer lives aren't where they should be. And one of the benefits of this pandemic is that it's given us a call to pray, to examine our prayer lives before the Heavenly Father. Usually we say we don't have enough time to pray. Well, with this pandemic, I think it's given us a little bit of extra time to pray. Usually we'll say we don't know what we ought to pray for. Well, with this pandemic, it's given us a long list of things to pray for our nation, for our neighbor, for the world. So the question is, are you praying? Have you been praying? consider this thought with me this morning as we ask the Lord to grow us in our prayer lives. It's there on the screen. Your prayer life reveals the kind of relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. It also reveals the awareness you have regarding the spiritual battle that you're in. Your prayer life reveals the kind of relationship you have with your Heavenly Father and the awareness of the spiritual battle that you're in. If you're not praying often, that tells you that you don't have close intimacy with your Heavenly Father. If you're not praying often, that tells me you don't take this spiritual battle with Satan as serious as you should. If you don't pray often, you're kind of saying you really don't depend on God daily. You don't even seek fellowship with God. And when you do that, you become an easy target for Satan. You become an easy target for despair. You become an easy target for doubt. You become an easy target for temptations. And you can't be an effective warrior for the kingdom of God. So the call this morning is to use this pandemic to fan into flame our prayer life. Use this time, use this situation to consider your prayer life. Draw near to your Heavenly Father. Be empowered to live a life of transforming grace. Let me pray, and we're going to look at Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20. Let me pray. Father, Lord, we pray for forgiveness if we haven't prayed as we ought. Lord, we pray that you would empower us now with your Holy Spirit to hear his words that you've given us through Paul, this call to pray. Speak to your people. Speak to each one of us. Grow us in our faith. Grow us in our relationship to you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. After Paul has said, put on all these pieces of the armor of God, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You see that little word, all? He uses it four times just in this verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And he continues also, pray for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We'll end there this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. Timothy Keller writes, to pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. To be a person of prayer is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. That's a humbling and sobering reality that we really don't like, at least I don't really like. My desire is to be dependent. My desire is to be in control. I don't want to need anyone. I don't want to need anything. But the sooner that we wake up to the reality that we can't make it on our own, we wake up to the reality that we can have intimacy with the creator of the universe, who knows every flaw and every sin, yet loves me and would send his son to die for me, to atone for my sins, how much richer, how much fuller our lives can be. So after the call to put on this full armor of God, Paul says to pray. And he says to pray in four ways. First, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray morning, pray noon, pray in the evening. Pray when you can. They don't have to be long prayers, just short prayers. Take your thoughts, take your concerns, take your joys always to the Father. To pray in the Spirit means at least two things. It means pray as a child of God, and pray to be conformed to the will of God. The scriptures talk of believers that they're born of the Spirit, that they're sealed of the Spirit, that they're to be filled with the Spirit. And all Paul says, pray in the Spirit. And it means to pray as a child of God. I love the verse in Romans 8:15. It says, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received the spirit of adoption of sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And that word Abba means daddy. You who trust in Christ, you who have affections for Christ, you can call God daddy. You can call the creator of the universe daddy. You can call God Almighty daddy. You can call the one who is holy, holy, holy daddy. You who belong to Christ, even if you haven't prayed for a while, you haven't received the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, you can call out to your Heavenly Father as daddy. You can go to him in prayer and sit on his lap, if you will. Say, "Daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry I haven't talked to you for a while. Daddy, I'm sorry I haven't given you my sorrows and my concern for a while. I haven't shared my joys with you. Daddy, sorry for not depending on you." And your Heavenly Father just welcomes you. He embraces you like the prodigal son. "I love you. Let me hold you. Let me bless you." So pray as a child of God. You who are in Christ Jesus, you have the spirit of adoption. To pray in the spirit is to pray as God's child. Keller writes, he uses this illustration. He says, "No one dares to go to a king at 3 a.m. to ask for a drink of water. If you're living in a kingdom and you're thirsty, you wouldn't dare go to that king, knock on his door and say, 'Hey, king, I'm thirsty. I don't feel the best. I need a drink of water.'" But one who would do that is a child. The king's child, if he was thirsty and not feeling good at 3 a.m., he would go over to his daddy's room and say, "Dad, I don't feel good. I need a drink of water." And the king would get up and take care of his son or his daughter. That's the kind of relationship that we have with the God of the universe. That we can call him daddy, though he's king, that we can approach him morning, noon, or night with all of our prayers, with all of our concerns. Paul Tripp writes, "In these days of social distancing, it's so important and so good to remember that there's nothing that can distance you from your Savior and his boundless love." You can pray to God anywhere. You might not be able to leave your home like you want, but God's not kept from you. He's right there with you, even right now. He's with you, and you can pray to him as his child. Praying in the Spirit also means to be conformed to his will. Timothy Keller, as he's talking about John Murray, and John Murray was talking about this prayer thing, how mystical it is, yet how holy it is, and how life-transforming it is. He says, "When we pray, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me experience my theology." To pray in the Spirit is to ask the Holy Spirit to help me experience my theology. Help me to become holy. Help me to become righteous. Help me to become all of those things that Christ desires to me. Help me to grow in my faith in Christ. Help me to grow in my affections of Christ. Help me to be a peacemaker. Help me to be one who loves, who honors people. All those things that Scripture tells me of who I am to be, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to do that. I want my will to be conformed to God's will. I want my affections to grow in Christ, and I want the affections of Christ that he has, what Christ loves, what Christ hates, I want those in my heart and my desire as well. We might even find time where we don't even know how we should pray. Maybe the circumstances are too big or too impossible, and we're just not sure how to pray. And the Spirit even helps us in that area. Love Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." One commentator says, "It's like the Holy Spirit takes our prayers presents them to the Father and says, this is what they really mean. This is what's really their heart's desire. This is what they want, and this is what is best. The Spirit helps us. So pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray as a child of God. And pray to be conformed to the will of God. Next, Paul says, pray with all prayers and supplications. Pray with all prayers and supplications. Think about your prayer life. What does it look like? For many of us, sometimes it's just a wish list, a prayer list, and it's good to pray for the things that we need. But your prayers can be so much deeper. They can be so much richer, so much fuller. There's many things we can pray about. Let me remind you of some of the prayers Paul prayed just in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 16 through 19, Paul says to the church, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him. He wants the church to know more and more about Christ and the Father. He continues to say this, I pray that your eyes of your hearts are enlightened, that you may know what the hope to which you've been called, that you know the riches of this glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the measurable greatness of the power towards us. Listen to those things. He prays that you would understand your hope more and more, that you would understand your inheritance more and more, that you would understand the power of God more and more. Put those things in your prayer life as well. Then Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, he continues, he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power, with the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that Christ would be centered, that Christ would be the treasure, that Christ would be on the throne, that you would have power, that Christ would be first, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love and have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. These are some of Paul's prayers. It deepens our intimacy with Christ and with the Father. It makes me think of the old illustration, if you're familiar with oak trees. When it comes fall and winter, most of the trees lose their leaves, except for the oaks. The oaks will hold on to their old, dead leaves. They'll go through all winter, and some of them will blow off, but there's some that still hold on, and there are these brown, wrinkled, old leaves. And the only thing that makes them come off is new growth. When spring arises and new growth comes forth, it pushes those dead leaves off. And so as we're praying to know God more, as we're praying to know Christ more, as we're praying to know the hope that we've been called to, the inheritance, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that growth will help us to put off the old sinful ways in our life. It's one of the ways we grow in Christ. So we pray with all prayers. Maybe there's the prayers of lament in the Psalms. We cry out to God. There's things that are unjust. There's things that just seem not right. And we cry out to God in agony, and he understands. And we can be honest and real with God that we don't understand, and we wish the situation would end while we continue to trust his faithfulness. There are beautiful psalms of just being honest and real and seeking God to move. Maybe you're familiar with the acronym ACTS. As we can use as a guide. Acts, each letter stands for something as we think about prayer in our lives. A, adoration, that we need to take time to adore our Heavenly Father, to praise him for who he is and what he's done. We have a time of confession. Psalm 51 is a great psalm. Our FTL, Gerald Thomas, he has this whole psalm memorized. And to hear him quote it back is so beautiful. Know it. Use it as you confess your sins to your Father. Thanksgiving. We of all people should be the most thankful. To thankful for how he's answered, how he's moved, how he's rescued, how he's saved. To see how he's gotten us through another day. To be thankful. And then supplication. We take our needs. We take our hurts. We we ask him things. Martin Luther, in his little book, A Simple Way to Pray, he would use three things as a guide to pray. He would use the Ten Commandments, he would use the Lord's Prayer, and use the Apostles' Creed. He would take the Ten Commandments and just pray through them. He would praise God for Christ who kept them all, and then he would ask God to empower him to keep each one, to expose any of those that he doesn't see in his life. He would use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern and use that to pray in his life. So as Paul says, pray with all prayers and supplications. There's so much that we can pray for. The third thing Paul says is to pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. Timothy Keller writes, prayer, though it is often draining, even in agony, is in the long term the greatest source of power that is possible. Maybe you just struggle with prayer. Sometimes it's just hard. He uses the word agony. Sometimes it's hard to pray. Sometimes it seems that God's not listening. Sometimes we didn't like how he answered. Maybe we don't want to be conformed to his will. Maybe we just hurt emotionally. So we hurt physically, and it's hard to pray. Paul says, pray with all perseverance. Remember the spiritual battle that you're in. Say the words that you're on your heart. Be real with God. Say, Father, I don't even know what to pray. It's even hard to pray, but I'm trusting your faithfulness. Help me to believe. Help me to pray. We need to persevere in our prayers. As Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Bob Learberg's favorite verse is 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Be constant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray with all perseverance. Don't stop. Prayer is your lifeline to the King. Prayer is your lifeline to the general in this spiritual battle. Don't let Satan scramble your call to God. Don't let Satan put static in your call and prayer to God. Don't let Satan get in your mind and think, why bother? Why bother to pray? You persevere. Perseverance in prayer shows that you're in it to win it. That you won't let the enemy wreck your soul. You won't let the enemy wreck your relationship with God. You won't let him rob you of your joy and your calling in the kingdom of God. You persevere in this spiritual battle. You persevere to win. You persevere in getting the latest news alert, I'm assuming, with this pandemic. You want to know the latest numbers, the latest trends, and that's good. But use that same energy to persevere in prayer, to pray for the EMS people, the nurses, the hospitals, for the leaders, for the church who's isolated and lonely. Pray. Persevere in prayer. Pray that God would give us a vaccine, that he would give us an answer, that he would give us deliverance. If you really want something, you will persevere. And I'm not sure if you know what a plank is, but if you know what a push-up is, where you push yourself up and you're holding yourself off the ground, a plank is similar to that, but you rest on your forearms. You just hold your arms, so it's just your toes and your forearms, and the rest of your body is off the ground, and you try to hold that as long as you can. To do for 30 seconds is hard, let alone a minute. There's a guy who wanted to set a world record. He held that position for 8 hours, 15 minutes, and 15 seconds. That's a lot of discipline. That's a lot of perseverance. Just to be able to hold your body off the ground for 8 hours, 15 minutes. He wanted it. He wanted that record so he would persevere. And so as Paul says, persevere in prayer. You pray. You pray until the Lord answers, till the Lord reveals his will. You pray. You don't stop. You be persistent. You be in it to win it. Be disciplined in your prayer. Pray with all perseverance. And then lastly, Paul says, pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. your brothers and sisters are in the same spiritual battle as you are. We need each other's prayers. We need them. Pull out the church directory. Start praying for each person by name. Lift the saints to the throne of heaven. Go to your daddy and say, my brother, my sister, they need you today. They're in a spiritual battle. Help them to know the love of Christ. Empower them with the power of Christ today. Pray for our children. Pray for the covenant children, that they would fall in love with Christ, that they have true affections for Christ. Pray for the persecuted church, people that are at the fear of being killed by just professing and proclaiming Christ. Pray for all the saints. Pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons as we seek to shepherd and care for our church and the people of the community. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. He is a weak man. Ask God to empower him. Ask God to protect him from the evil one. Ask God to give him wisdom to shepherd, to share the word of God with you. Pray for all the saints. Pray for all of us to grow in grace. Pray that we would all grow in our desire to share the gospel in these days. As Paul says towards the end, he says, pray for me that words may be given to me, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, and I declare it boldly as I ought to speak. That is a prayer for every single one of us, especially in this day. The world needs Christ. The world needs a Savior. Someone who can save them from their sins, the one who can give eternal life. We know the story. We've experienced the story. We know the hope. Let's share the living hope of Christ. Let's make that one of our prayers today and every day, that God would open up a door, give us the words to say that we may speak it boldly, to make Christ known and to rescue many from the enemy's lines, as we were rescued from the enemy's lines. We were rescued from the grip of Satan and his lies and his tyranny and his death. Let us be used by God. Let us pray to be used by God in this day to speak the gospel boldly. Pray for all the saints. So your prayer life. Have you been praying? Again, your prayer life will reveal the kind of relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. It also reveals the awareness that you have regarding the spiritual battle you're in. We need to pray. Use this pandemic to fan into flame your prayer life. Draw near to your Heavenly Father. Draw near to your daddy and be empowered to live a life of transforming grace. Pray for all the saints. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray with all perseverance. Pray with all prayers and supplications. Grow in grace today. Put on the full armor of God. Stand in the strength of Christ's might and pray. Be empowered to be a soldier for the kingdom of God today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would take these truths and make them real in our lives. Lord, forgive us if we haven't prayed as we ought. Help us to remember that we come to you as our good, powerful, holy daddy, that we can approach your throne boldly, yet with great humility, that you love us, that you have so much for us, that you want our intimacy, you want our joys, you want our sorrows, you want our questions, even want our anger. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people as they seek your face. Lord, empower us today to be your church, to pray for one another, to pray to advance your gospel today and every day. Bless your people, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.